All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am so excited, pumped up here at 1:40 in the morning to talk about this Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the Los Angeles Lakers. Final score 108-106. That was great. That was one of the best Nuggets wins that you're going to get. One of the most hard-fought Nuggets wins that you're going to get, if I'm being honest. That was I put it in the description, an absolute war of attrition there from your Denver Nuggets. They fought very hard, suffered injuries, suffered unfortunate opportunities to get some shots hit against you, get some calls go against you, shots go in and out, things like that. And you feel like there's at least a possibility that you have to go back to Los Angeles for a game six. That's the last thing that anybody wants. That's the last thing anybody needs for this Nuggets team, especially if they have some real desire to actually win a championship and go back to back again this year. There's just no way that they could handle it. And like, you got to end this series as soon as possible. The Lakers had really found some stuff. Lakers, shout out to the Lakers. We've joked about them all the time. Kind of reminiscent of the Nuggets Warriors series a couple years ago, where Denver was clearly like overmatched by the Warriors. And then also kind of reminiscent of the Nuggets T-Wolves series last year, where the Nuggets were clearly overwhelming the T-Wolves in that series. But by the end of it, the teams had figured each other out, and the teams were smart enough, and they understood what was going on. And it totally felt like in this one, man, if this goes back to LA, anything can happen at that point, because just a crazy turn of events was ultimately needed for Denver to get this done. And it's probably got to start with Jamal Murray. By the way, what's up, my guy, Jake Shapiro? Shout out to Denver Sports, 104.3 The Fan. Jamal Murray hit another shot. Jamal Murray hit another shot. We got to start with that, right? There was panic and a little bit of, I would say, probably discomfort around the Nuggets media room heading into pregame, trying to figure out, okay, what's Jamal going to do? Like, what are the Nuggets going to do here? And Michael Malone talked about that a little bit postgame, saying that Denver didn't really know what the best course of action was. Do they try to play Jamal in this one, even though he's clearly compromised? He's clearly not fully healthy. Do they try to play him? Then you get a little bit of rest before another series. Or do you sit him? Do you run the risk of losing the game and then having to go to a game six anyway? The Nuggets ultimately decided, Jamal ultimately decided, I'm going to play. Need to be out there for the team. And boy, did he play. He was, it was unbelievable watching him and just seeing him kind of like, because you know what he's supposed to look like, right? You know how he's supposed to look, how he's supposed to play. But Jamal Murray gutted it out and found a way to elevate the Nuggets past the Lakers in what can only be described as a confluence of like the spheres of the events of planets. Like, did the planets align? Did the stars align? Like, what ultimately happened here for Jamal freaking Murray to make two game-winning shots in Denver in a series that only went five games? How in the world did he do that? And how in the world did he do it on one leg? Like, he's clearly hampered, but he found a way to dig deep in the fourth quarter. At one point, I don't know if this held true, but with about 4 minutes left to go, 3.5 minutes left to go, the Nuggets had scored 18 total points, and Jamal had scored or assisted on 18. All of them. Like, he was driving the Nuggets in this one. And yet it was weird. Like, we didn't even know if he was going to play. We didn't know if it was a smart idea for him to play. But he ultimately gets it done. He ultimately hits the biggest shot of the series, even bigger than, actually, I don't know. Was the game two shot bigger than the game five shot? Probably not. It was close. It was really, really close. But him hitting this shot where the Nuggets have the ball tied after two LeBron James clutch free throws, by the way. Lakers got to the free throw line a clutch 27 times in order to keep this running, almost stealing this win. The Nuggets had 26 seconds left heading into the final play. They couldn't run out the clock entirely, but they were sure as hell going to try. And I was watching what was going on. Joker was directing traffic. Murray moved the ball all the way over to the right side of the floor, standing next to Michael Malone, and then them kind of relaying instructions to the team of what exactly they were going to do. And I thought they were taking too long. I thought they were taking too long in order to get a shot off. But Murray starts his move at about 5 seconds left. Jokic screens with about 5 seconds left in the shot clock, which was about 7-8 seconds left in the game clock. And Murray goes to his left after Austin Reaves, who had guarded him so well for this entire series. Austin Reaves deserves a lot of credit for the way that he played. And Jamal gets the screen from Joker. Reaves gets bumped off his spot a little bit. And rather than step all the way up, Anthony Davis stays a little bit attached to Jokic, can't leave him all the way. And Jamal Murray gets to his spot on the left side of the floor, raises up for a fall away mid-range jumper going to his left, unlike the fall away mid-range jumper going to his right in game two. But both had the same outcome. Nothing but the bottom, ball arena going crazy. There were 3 seconds left, and the Lakers, because they had challenged multiple times and because Darvin Ham had overused his timeouts earlier in the game, the Lakers didn't have a timeout to call after Jamal hit that shot. So they had to inbound the ball full court. LeBron gets it. Jokic clutches ever. Steps right in front of LeBron. Just plays great defense in that moment without fouling. Ball ends up in Taurean Prince's hands. He tries to get up a shot. It's nowhere really close. And the Nuggets ultimately take it. They ultimately get it done, despite the fact that the Lakers had done such a tremendous job of kind of evening up this series a little bit. They had played great, man. Like, the Nuggets have a ton of respect for the Lakers. It sometimes isn't portrayed that way because of us in the media. We love to clown, obviously. But the Nuggets have a ton of respect for the Lakers and very clearly knew that they needed to get this done when they had the opportunity to do so, because they did not want to go back to LA for a game six. That would have been pretty problematic, because LeBron James, he had that look in his eye. He played great. He played a really, really great brand of basketball. But ultimately, it didn't change a thing. The Nuggets, with the clutch duo that they have, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, they were able to get it done in clutch time. I'm going to talk about Michael Porter Jr. in the second segment especially. I'm going to talk about the rest of the guys in the second segment. But I do want to focus in on Jamal here, who had a poor series, if we're being completely honest. He had like a 44% true shooting through four games. The only time where he really looked remotely comfortable was in the fourth quarter of game two and ultimately hitting the game winner there. Outside of that, he looked bothered. He looked hampered. He looked distressed by the defense that the Lakers were playing, whether it was Anthony Davis rotating over or Austin Reaves kind of on his back. And those two deserve a ton of credit for making life difficult for him. And Jamal made some decisions that were not characteristic of him throughout the series. Like, he had done such a great job in previous years in the playoffs of elevating his game and making crazy shots. And when you need a tough bucket, Jamal's always there. And he did make a tough bucket in game two, and he made several of them throughout the series, but the actual, like, in between times, they felt bad. And tonight, he could barely move. He could barely jump. He talked about it post game. Was like, hey, I couldn't get a jump on my jumper. And he clearly couldn't get around any screens. And I'm really surprised that the Lakers didn't try targeting him a little bit more. He had a couple of defensive plays here or there, but for the most part, Jamal was kind of barbecue chicken on defense tonight. Like, he couldn't move. And yet, the Lakers didn't attack him enough. They decided to go away from it. They got into some more comfortable places with LeBron, and he did a great job himself. Like, 30 points, 11 assists, 4 steals at age 39. He played 44 minutes, LeBron did. And I think he was a +3. Like, good Lord. How he did that, I have no idea. I had respect for LeBron before this series. But continuing to see him raise his game and make elite decision after elite decision and just overwhelm the Nuggets at various times. Like, this game was hell because of LeBron James. That dude was unbelievable. And he was unbelievable for most of the series. And it took a lot for Denver to get through that. Like, credit to LeBron. Credit to the Lakers for making them work. They made them work a ton. But ultimately, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And the Nuggets have finished really, really well. Jamal had this awesome dunk over LeBron late in the fourth quarter as well, as Snow Wolf mentions here. It was a big, big time play. He flexed a little bit. He's like, oh, yeah, let's go. And was just really cool to see him. Really cool to see him kind of go off in this moment, because there have been a lot of talk. A lot of talk from a lot of folks around the league, a lot around Nuggets fandom. Like, hey, what's going on with Jamal? Need Jamal. Can't get this version of Jamal if you want to advance and win a championship. And to some degree, that's absolutely true. But, like, this version of Jamal is just, like, it's unbelievable watching him sometimes. Because he is one of those guys that is just never, ever going to say die. And play like it tonight. What very, very impressive stuff, and just deserves as much credit as possible. But he may not have been the best player on the floor tonight. That honor probably goes to Michael Porter Jr. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Mike. We're going to talk about Joker. Not necessarily his best game, but we're going to talk about everybody in between. We're going to talk about all the Nuggets and everything that sort of happened here. Just, like, what an incredible win, an incredible series that Denver just played. And they ultimately come out on the other side. We will talk about it in just a second. But first, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Autograph. Make sure to go use that barcode. Hold your phone up to the screen. Use that barcode, and then when you download Autograph and sign up, use promo code MHS. They'll let them know that you came from us, and you'll get some great Nuggets deals, get some great deals for Nuggets fans, real Nuggets fans, and have plenty of opportunities for amazing merch and tickets and memorabilia and just anything that you could possibly want. So Autograph's the place to be if you're a Nuggets fan. Make sure to go check out their app. All you got to do, scan that barcode. They'll hook you up. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support. It is 1:54 a.m. We've got some folks in the chat. Really appreciate everybody for staying up with me. Always great to be able to hang out. See, Casey Mack says, I'm still awake. Tella Dan Hogan says, up late looking for Jokic's missed free throw. For missing Jokic free throws, I see. Yeah, Joker a curious 0 of 0 from the free throw line tonight, despite the fact that he's getting mugged. It was very clear watching that game, and especially watching the beginning of the fourth quarter. Well, even watching the beginning of the first quarter, like, the Lakers didn't foul for the first quarter until the 33-second mark, and then they were in the bonus with, like, 7 minutes left to go, 7.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Like, it was pretty blatant. I'm not going to lie. 27-9 free throw rate, and, like, that doesn't even really tell the full story of it, because there were multiple challenges that were kind of meh, that could have gone either way, that both went the Lakers' way. But fortunately for the Nuggets, the Lakers challenging those fouls, that was a really, really big deal, because they lost out on the timeout right at the end that they needed to advance the ball after Jamal made that shot. So credit to the Nuggets for sticking it out, despite the fact that they weren't going to get any calls. And I thought it was pretty clear. They were just not going to get free throws. Like, that was how it was going to be. And I think they knew that. I think they knew they had to work through it. And hopefully they do not get 86'd by the whistle in this next series. That would be great. But let's talk about Mike. I want to talk about Michael Porter. That dude deserves so much credit. He deserves so much credit for how he handled this series, for how he handled this just very difficult part of his life, right? Like, one of the most difficult parts of your life where it's completely taken out of his hands. But he handled this with grace and compartmentalized so much for the purpose of winning basketball games. And he didn't have to do that. But then again, he might have to. He might have had to, because Jamal was meh for much of the series. Joker's one person and then didn't have his best game five. Aaron Gordon, KCP, kind of hit or miss throughout the series. Denver's bench, not very good. And was horrible tonight. Like, they couldn't play anybody other than one Peyton Watson three. And actually, I'll give credit to Reggie Jackson as well. His first half, very important. His second half, not so important. But tonight, Michael Porter continued to prove just how valuable he is, just how necessary he is for the Nuggets machine. It's funny, like, when people talk about the Nuggets, they talk about how necessary everybody is. Everything has to happen. Everything goes through Jokic. There's nothing can happen without Jokic. Well, then you got to have the two-man game, like Jokic and Murray. Like, that's so important for, especially for the playoffs and especially for these moments. And obviously that bore out tonight. But then you got Aaron Gordon, who's the main trade piece that they have. Main guy who defends everybody is a Swiss Army knife. And that is true. And that bore out. And then you've got KCP, who came up with some clutch stops tonight, came up with some very clutch plays, did not shoot the ball well, but he made a three when it counted. That was very important. Sometimes people forget about Mike. Sometimes people gloss over him. They talk about him like he's Tobias Harris. And I'm sure that if you're a Sixers fan, you're just so jealous of the supporting cast that Joker has, that he can go to a guy like Michael Porter Jr., somebody who is dynamic, who is confident, who plays just so hard and plays really well in these tough moments. Mike was great. He played 46 minutes tonight. He was a plus 12. The Nuggets won the game by 2, which means that in the 2 minutes that he sat, in the first quarter, the Nuggets were a minus 10. They couldn't go away from him. He played the entire second half. He was absolutely essential to what they were doing as a floor spacer, as a shot maker, as somebody to take the pressure off of Joker and Jamal. 26 points. 8 of 12 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, five of six from the line, two steals, had a nice assist on a dump off to a Aaron Gordon dunk. Only had four rebounds, but that's because Jokic had 20 and Aaron Gordon had 13. Just an incredible game for Michael Porter, making shots in a situation where he absolutely had to make the most of every single one of them. 8 of 12, where he's getting this much attention, is sick. He was moving the floor, running the floor really well, he was relocating really well, and even when the defense was there, he just rose up and fired and hit some crazy shots. That dude might be the MVP of the series. I saw somebody share that again. Casey Mack said that. Mike Iamo was the MVP of this series. He was certainly the guy that exceeded expectations the most. Because you expect great things from Joker. You expect great things from Jamal. And even though Jamal wasn't perfect for the entire time, he still came up in the clutch moments in Game 2 and Game 5. But Mike was steady. Mike was consistent. Here are his numbers, his averages throughout the rest of the series. 22.8 points per game, 55.3% from the field, 48.8% from three, 77% from the line, 8.4 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 1 turnover, 1.2 steals. Was just indispensable in this series and deserves a ton of credit for his ability to compartmentalize what he's going through, but also be on the floor when he's had this back injury and these three back surgeries and this recovery process. He played the 27th most minutes in the regular season of anybody in the NBA this year. 81 out of 82 games, the most of his career. And he averaged 39.4 minutes per game. Up from last year where he averaged like 33. He was often the guy that was taken out for Bruce Brown at times late in the series, late in playoff games. Sometimes he didn't come back on the floor. For this, he couldn't leave it. He was indispensable. Just such a big-time player. Nikola Jokic, we'll pivot to him real quick. Not his best game. 25 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists. When you just say that, you're like, okay, I mean, sure, but like, was it really that bad? He had 7 turnovers, and so many of those turnovers were, I thought, thoughtless and careless errors from him. From a player who generally values the ball as well as he does, as much as he does, I thought that some of those possessions were definitely careless. And I'm not sure what it was. Like, I think that there were times where he could have gone to the rim a little bit harder, where there were times like he did still manage to shoot 21 times. Like, that was important. But there were still some possessions where he faded, he settled, he didn't necessarily, like, he was waiting for the double team to come so that he could pass the ball rather than trying to put the pressure on the Lakers in the middle of the floor, especially after Anthony Davis went down, had that stinger. I'm surprised that Joker didn't try to put him under the basket more than he did. He missed a couple shots against Austin Reeves. He traveled when trying to spin off against Austin Reeves and was just bumped off his spot. It was very weird. And then he had a couple of those long distance passes that were picked off. One by LeBron. Actually, I think maybe both by LeBron. But very weird, very odd. And yet, still had some important plays. Still had some very, very important moments down the stretch. If you just go to the play-by-play data and look at the final 6 minutes of the game, like, assisted on Jamal Murray's dunk. He put Anthony Davis in the basket on one possession. He grabbed an offensive rebound off of a KCP pull-up and hit that. And then combined, obviously, with Jamal on the final possession. So if this is the worst that it gets for Nikola Jokic, Denver's probably going to be okay. like, especially if they've got other guys like a Jamal Murray and a Michael Porter Jr. to really pick up the slack. Like, Jokic doesn't have to be perfect. It would be nice. And I don't think that he's reached his potential in this playoffs. Like, I think that he can play better, despite the fact that he averaged, or has whatever the hell he averaged. I also saw from StatMuse that he is currently leading the NBA, leading the NBA playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists. Maybe you could do that again. That'd be cool. Do it back-to-back years. That would be something on a resume, that's for sure. Aaron Gordon, probably got to give him some credit too. 7 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. The clutch offensive rebound that he had for a kickout to Jamal Murray at about the 1 minute mark that helped put Denver up. That was a big deal. Gordon had 5 offensive rebounds. His defense was pretty good. It wasn't great. I want to push back on, like, I know Matt and I were talking, Matt Moore, and he was like, Aaron's defense was great. I'm like, it was fine. It was good. It was good. LeBron was still getting to where he wanted to go, and that's because he's LeBron, and that's fine. Like, I don't expect Aaron to be tremendous. He did also play 46 minutes, so I will have to cut him a bit of slack. The team understands how valuable he is, and the fact that the Nuggets are putting him into this position where he has to play all of those minutes against the Lakers because there's no backup five that they can trust in these moments, it's tough. It's really tough. Denver also doesn't have a backup four that they can really go to consistently. Peyton Watson played just 5 minutes tonight. We got to talk about the bench a little bit in the third segment, but Christian Brown, not good. Justin Holiday, not good, in my opinion. Reggie Jackson, I thought, had some good moments and was very important in the first half, but then was really bad in the second, missing his opportunities. So, I don't know. This was one of those ones where the starters just had to play through it. And then, I didn't even mention it, KCP rolls his ankle. Like, he has a sprained ankle in, I think, the first quarter. And rather than he did come out of the game for a little bit. But, like, rather than stay out for a prolonged time, he played, I think, 11 minutes in the first half and 22 minutes in the second half. He had a 2-minute break. Like, the dude is a machine. And his ability to compartmentalize some pain and just to get through it is really, really big. Didn't shoot the ball well, like I said, but I think he hit a clutch three in the fourth quarter, which is all you can really ask for. And then he played some great defense. This was a great, great win for the Nuggets. Just, like, tremendous stuff. The fact that they were able to do this is insane. The Lakers should have won this game. They played really well. What actually saved Denver, funny enough, was their shooting. They shot the ball really well in this game. And it was the first half where they were shooting above 40% from three. I think it was 8 of 19. And they shot 8 of 19 again in the second half. Imagine that. They needed every single one of those points because just wasn't going their way for a little bit in that second quarter especially. But they fought back. They got it done. And now they don't have to worry about the Lakers again. Thank the Lord. I don't like worrying about the Lakers at all. It's never fun. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to chat about the bench. We're going to chat about the Lakers. And I might share some initial thoughts on the T-Wolves. We will be right back. But first, Scott DeHuff. Final segment. Thank you so much for tuning into the show, everyone. Got to talk about the bench a little bit. Not a great showing from the bench. Just listen to the minutes here. Reggie Jackson played 18 minutes. Christian Brown played 6. Peyton Watson played 5. Justin Holiday played 4. Reggie Jackson earned those minutes, for what it's worth. I know that it didn't end perfectly, and he missed his final 3 shots at least. But Actually, no, he missed his final five shots. He was 3 of 3 at one point, I think, in that first half. I think he went 0 of 5 in the second half, which is hilarious. But look, he was valuable keeping Denver alive in that first half. He hit a big three at the end of the first quarter. He hit a transition three when Denver needed it. He hit a nice pull-up jumper in front of LeBron James. Like, that was a big deal. And the fact that he was at least able to provide some production was huge. Peyton Watson, I also give credit to. He hit a three in the fourth quarter, like first possession of the fourth quarter, no hesitation. It was great to see that. 0 rebounds, 1 assist, wasn't really super involved other than that. And then, like, I can't say that much about him. Justin Holiday was getting cardio out there. He didn't really do too much, in my opinion. Had some good defensive plays every now and then, but for the most part, it was just like they tried to run some two-man game with him and Nikola Jokic at one point. Didn't work. Like, he couldn't really get the ball back. Like, for whatever reason, they just couldn't generate anything. So, wonder if that's something that they could work on prior to next round. But I think that's Christian Brown, probably the one guy that, like, of all of them, like, inexcusable. He's just got to play better. Like, was just bad in that first half. It didn't get off the bench and for the second half. Like, credit to Michael Malone and the Nuggets coaching staff for understanding it. Christian Brown, 6 minutes, 2 points off of a couple free throws, which was nice, but a couple weird drives to the rim. Thought he didn't play. Like, it was just a really, really bad stretch of basketball that he played, especially towards the end of his stretch. And, like, took a pull-up three that got blocked by Jackson Hayes. Like, I'm not sure what the cause of that was, but still did that. And that was with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter on the floor. So, like, you got to make sure that you're getting an open three. You got to make sure you're getting a good shot in that case. And that was just not good recognition and good understanding of what was supposed to happen. So, like, look, he will be better, and Casey Mack says it here. I think Brown will excel better versus the Wolves, at least I hope. I think he will be better. I don't think that this was a series for him. I think the next series where you've got a bunch of wings and guards that you can really guard, I think that that will be big. I think that he'll have opportunities where he has to be out there, and especially if KCP is a little bit hampered by this ankle injury, or if Jamal Murray is hampered by a calf injury, they're going to need Christian Brown. Like, they can't survive on just Reggie Jackson and Justin Holiday. Like, I got to get more. So here's hoping that Christian really puts it together. So, talk about the Lakers a little bit. I mentioned and wanted to credit them in the first segment especially. I'm going to do it again. Like, I expected this series, I expected that once the Nuggets went up 3-0, that the Lakers would crumble a little bit, that they would not show as much backbone as they ultimately did. And it was clear to me that LeBron smelled blood. He smelled an opportunity that Denver could crack a little bit. Probably sensed that Murray was hurt, saw that especially KCP rolls his ankle, sensed opportunities for getting downhill, and also sensed that Denver's a little bit rickety if you can bother Jokic a little bit. And they bothered Jokic tonight. And there were points tonight. Darvin Ham kept calling timeouts. He kept trying to get Denver off of their rhythm a little bit. And every out of timeout, every single time, LeBron made a play. Every single time. And whether it was a drive to the rim, or a three, or an alley-oop to somebody else, or just a great setup, like, he made a play and had the Nuggets on their heels for a lot of it. And I gotta give him a ton of credit. I didn't expect him to bring this level, but he was great. He was really, really great. And the fact that he's able to do this at 39, like, I know this isn't all, like, I'm not gonna do narratives here that much, but, like, ain't no way that Michael Jordan was doing that at 39. Ain't no way. No way whatsoever. Like, what LeBron just did was incredible. And the fact that he was able to do it, even more so. Anthony Davis powered through a lot. He did really well in this series. And there were times where he was held in check in fourth quarters. And actually in this game, 8 of 10 after the half, finished the game 8 of 11. The stinger really hurt him. I think the shoulder injury really hurt him for sure. But he just wasn't aggressive after that, was just barely like holding on for dear life. Clearly has something going on that, like, I don't understand it because I'm not in those, like, huddles, in those conversations, but clearly something's going on that was really preventing him from being aggressive, and he, like, gutted it out. He was still out there. He played 40 minutes, but he was rolling on the floor. It was a very weird situation, but he played. Austin Reeves, hate his game. Hate it. It is so irritating to watch him play, but it's because it works. Like, he was maybe the best defender in the entire series. Did a great job against Jamal Murray, bothering him, getting into his airspace, making smart defensive plays, even made smart defensive plays against Jokic a lot of the time. And draws free throws like an MF-er. Like, just, he draws so many free throws. Good Lord. But, I mean, he's baiting it. Does a good job with it. Those three guys are really, really good. And if they just had a little bit more around them, then I think it would have been great. D'Angelo Russell made some plays tonight, made some plays in game 4 and game 2, but the no-shows that he had in game 1 and game 3 were just too much to overcome. Rui Hachimura was just really bad throughout much of this series. Finally came to play a little bit tonight, had 15 points, but it was still on 15 shots, and he only had 5 rebounds in a situation where they probably could have used more. And he had 0 steals, 0 blocks, and just wasn't able to be the main guy on Jokic, ever. Ever. Any time that Jokic had Rui on him, he put him in the basket. It was just so easy that they had to not only switch Anthony Davis onto Jokic, but also throw constant double teams at him as well. Like, they just were not going to get beat by Jokic tonight. And it's a good thing that Jamal and Mike stepped up the way that they did, because I think that they kind of found something with that. And I wonder if that sort of translates to next series, where maybe the T-Wolves, maybe Chris Finch, who, by the way, like, torn patellar tendon for Chris Finch on, like, standing on the sidelines and then getting run over by Mike Conley after a foul by Devin Booker. That sucks. God, I hope he's okay. I hope he gets surgery and, like, is able to survive. Like, I don't know if he's going to be able to be on the sidelines. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but man, I really hope that, like, you just want to see both of those teams, like, do battle, because folks, I think that this next series between the Nuggets and the T-Wolves is going to be crazy. And I wonder if the T-Wolves try to implement what the Lakers did by the end of this thing, was like, put your best defender on Jokic and send double teams anyway and force other guys to beat you. Like, that would not surprise me at all. And if they did that, yes, I think it allowed Murray and Porter specifically the opportunity to kind of get going. But if it's Aaron Gordon who's the guy that's getting the open shot, or even if it's KCP who's just shot the ball horribly to start this series, to start this playoffs, if it's those guys, I think the defense will probably live with it. So, something to think about. Something to think about for sure. It is going to be interesting to see. I'm curious to see how this series goes between the Nuggets and the T-Wolves. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, like, too much now, because it's already 2:20 in the morning, and I can barely see the screen in front of me. So, I think I am going to call it. But, folks, really appreciate you staying up with me. Really appreciate you for being Nuggets fans, for being awesome Nuggets fans, being Nuggets people. I wanted to get this podcast up right now because I think that there is a, like, the hope being that we get to maybe do another podcast tomorrow. Maybe I'll do one tomorrow night, try to get some good content on the T-Wolves and maybe the rest of the playoffs. There is also a strong potential for Den Vengers on Thursday or Friday, most likely Friday. So keep that in mind. We are excited to talk about it. Folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Autograph. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, as always. I will be back shortly. Not sure when it's going to be, but I'm so glad that I could share this moment with all y'all. Jamal Murray hit a shot. I think Jamal Murray hit another shot. What an insane play. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, as always. We'll talk to you guys very soon.